Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Hi, I'm Darnell Nurse from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
It is Brendan Escott in today, 12:33 in Edmonton. It is St. Patrick's Day, though we continue mourning the loss of the two police officers and that tragic event yesterday morning. Travis Jordan, Brett Ryan, keeping them very close to our hearts over the course of this afternoon and moving forward. Absolutely. Excited to be joined, as always, here by Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Abe's Door Service, where service is their specialty. Visit abesdoor.ca. Let's get right to it. Elliot, appreciate you joining, man. How's it going today?
It's going well, Brennan. I just wanted to say, like, I just heard your intro there, and I know it's been a really brutal couple of days in Edmonton, and just want to send my best. It's an awful story, terrible story.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that, and we've been getting many well wishes around here, and I know that the community needs the support. So one way that everybody was, or most, I think, were able to escape last night was with a big Oilers win. Meaningful points on the board, as they all are now, and in a playoff atmosphere, I think Edmonton really rose to the occasion in a few different assets of their game. Penalty kill held sway. I think that was really important. Goaltending looked good as well, and all of this against a very formidable Dallas foe.
Yeah, Dallas has had a couple of weird weeks. You know, they lost in Vancouver the other night. They lost to you. They've got a couple of guys hurt. I know Marchman isn't on the trip, and now he's out for a few weeks. They've been kind of going through it lately. But I really like them, Brendan, and I think they're a team. Like, the way they play when the playoffs get a little bit tighter, I like them a lot, and I like Ottinger a lot. So I think anytime you beat them, it's a good night for you. And generally, I think you guys have been playing pretty well. I think the other thing here is that I would guess that the Oilers want to avoid, you know, facing they're probably not going to finish first or second in the Pacific Division. But I think if you have your choice, you'd much rather see the Kings or the number two seed than the number one seed, especially if there's any chance that number one seed ends up being like Dallas. So I think you just, you know, you want to make sure you're playing as well as you can in the playoffs. I think you want to stay out of that wild card.
Yeah, and the team has been talking for weeks now about just trying to keep the engine, you know, revved up at the right time of year. And to me, this is getting to be the time of year where you better have things firing on all cylinders. I will say, as far as, you know, McDavid had a great game last night, but oftentimes, and even at parts during that game, Elliot, I think that Miro Heiskanen is somewhat of an elixir, as far as, you know, you get that smooth skating defenseman in there, and, yeah, and as one of the more underrated players in the league these days, I think that he is really an answer for some of Edmonton's elite talent if it does end up in a playoff series like that.
I don't know if answer is the right word. I don't think that you can, like, I think Heiskanen has a great skill set. I think he's going to win a Norris Trophy someday. But I just don't know if I'd say that even as good as he is, you still have to have, you know, everybody around him put Heiskanen in positions where he can be successful. Like, I don't care how good a skater you are, Brendan. If McDavid gets revved up and he's coming at you, you know, maybe you're going to get him a couple of times, but eventually he's going to embarrass you. And the one thing I think about Dallas is I think they're really disciplined. I think that they understand how they play, how they want to play. I think DeBoer is a really good coach. Like, he's been in a few different places because I think he's really demanding, and sometimes that wears out on people after a while. But everywhere he goes outside of Florida at the time, like, he's made teams better. So I think he's the kind of guy, he puts in a plan, the players buy into that plan, and they do things to slow other teams down. And I think it's with Heiskanen, I think it's not only is he a great player, which he is, but I think the stars know that McDavid's on the ice. There's certain places they want to try to move him towards, or certain things they don't want to let him do. I think even with McDavid, he's going to embarrass you once in a while, like I said, but I think the stars are very good at understanding the kinds of things they want to try to do to slow him down.
They have had so much success with the players coming really all out of this 2017 draft class. We talked yesterday with Saad Youssef from The Athletic about just what that draft class has meant to this organization and sort of keeping them away from even a retool. They've really just stayed afloat. Jason Robertson, needless to say, has been a big part of that. And the headlines in oil country last night, Elliot, from Jason Robertson, of course, coming from the knee-on-knee contact with McDavid. We've seen it come from several different players now. I think we're up more than three that I can think of between Edler and Giordano. And when you have a player as fast as McDavid moving around you, I think that, you know, we've got to find a way that this doesn't happen. But also, it's not just malice. It's not one player, obviously. This is a pattern in behavior. So we've got people on the text line sort of asking, am I the only one still really bent out of shape about this knee-on-knee contact? Can you weigh in on your thoughts?
Sure. Well, also there's a fourth. There's Derek Ryan, but that one doesn't count. I think that, look, I don't like it. I mean, the short answer is I don't like it. Like anybody who's played knows that if you're playing against a guy like McDavid, there's a chance that can happen because he's so elusive and he can change. So like he can turn on a corner. And, you know, people are going to think, okay, I've got this lane, and he's going to go, and they're like, oh, shoot, and or worse. And that's what happens. And, you know, I don't think anybody likes it. I agree that there's no, like, I do think that McDavid is deserving. Like, he reminds me a lot of, like, what Shaquille O'Neal was like when Shaquille O'Neal played in the NBA. Like, McDavid's more of a, I don't even want to call him a finesse player, but he's got speed, change of directions, and O'Neal was just a bull. But Phil Jackson used to always say that Shaquille O'Neal could go to the foul line 20 times a game, and he doesn't get enough calls because he's so big and so strong. He's just bigger than anybody else, and that was Jackson's way of dealing with it and trying to go and defend his star player. Like, I think with McDavid, I just think with him, I think he deserves more of the benefit of the doubt than he gets. People send me clips all the time of McDavid taking a cross check and McDavid taking a slash. I mean, that's in a lot of levels, that's just hockey. You're not going to get all the calls. And because he's so good and because the stakes are so high, he's going to get defended like that. But the one thing I do think, Brendan, and I would say this to Oilers fans too, is that every year, McDavid should be one of the guys who's having the most penalties called against him. And I think it should be by a fairly large margin. I mean, there's other guys out there. You know, there's Marner and Matthews in Toronto, players like that. But the thing is, like, I just look at McDavid and he gets fouled so much. I think that the amount of penalties called against him from the way people play him should reflect that. And, you know, I'm a guy who likes a tough game. I really do. I want the playoffs to be hard. And I think the regular season misses some of that. But I also recognize that because of who he is and how great he is, and I think he plays really hard. Like, McDavid isn't a tough guy in, like, the Tiger Williams sense, Dave Semenko sense of the word. But I think he is a very tough guy because he competes really hard. He doesn't care about anything but winning. And he plays through a lot of hard stuff. Like, he just has to. So I think it's not because it's soft. It's because it's an understanding that here's a guy who plays hard through a lot of crap, and he deserves to have more penalties called by people playing him. So that's the way I look at it. I always think he's deserving of maybe at least a call a game more than he gets, if not two. And I wish sometimes it did reflect that a bit more.
Yeah, and then again comes into the equation, Wallace, are you willing to put a 32% power play to work or worse, give him a 5-on-3 to work with? But if it's warranted,
yeah, but you know what?
Then it's warranted.
It's warranted. Like, it's, you know, it's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I really the thing is, like, I've this is not the first time I've come on this show and said that. I said to you before, Brian, I said it to Bob before too. And I get people who reach out to me and say, that's not the way any of this works. And I say, or that's not the way people want it to be. I think it's the way it should be because, again, it's more than just he's the best player. I think it is also that he has earned the benefit of the doubt even more than he gets, because he doesn't, because he plays hard, he plays through a lot of stuff, and he's the best player. You know, he's the best player in the league. There are other great players, but he's the best one. And I just think that, and the other thing is too, you just don't want to see him get hurt on an accidental play like that. Nobody benefits. Nobody benefits. Like, then you go back to that rookie season when he got hurt. Nobody, like, it was, I don't think that was a dirty play. I felt it was a bad fluke, but nobody benefits from that. And I think that that's, you know, I think that's, that should be ingrained in people.
I think that everybody's got the sensitivity based on the knee injury that we saw, based on the collarbone, even Draisaitl getting hauled down and sort of seeing him battle this year through what appears to be a lingering injury that, you know, you can cite back there. But I just don't look at the Robertson play and think there was any malice, even if it was a different player, even if it wasn't Jason Robertson, who we're 99% sure isn't a dirty guy. Now, Elliot, as we chat with Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey on Rogers for our friends at Abe Door Service. Ekholm's fit in Edmonton has been about as seamless as anybody could have hoped, between the leadership that has been talked about by Jay Woodcroft and some of his teammates there, to the on-ice play and just how much he's settled it all down when the puck's in movement. And at the end of that intermission, or as the players are skating off the ice, I could see Ekholm skate over to Robertson and sort of have an animated conversation with him. The ref's whistle goes off. They had to be separated. So, I mean, just overall, I don't know that you could have handcrafted a player and plunked them in the system any better than Matthias Ekholm has seemed to fit in since being brought in at the trade deadline.
Well, I think it's so hard sometimes when a player gets traded at the deadline. It can be very difficult. There have been some great fits, but there have been some really tough fits over the years. I think the thing that really helps you in this particular case, well, there's two things. Number one, he's got a phenomenal reputation. I think you guys are all seeing it here and why. Like, Ekholm was a hugely popular teammate in Nashville, and he has just a sterling reputation for what kind of person he is. And so I think that always makes it easier. I think the other thing, too, that really helps is that he has term. Like, you know, sometimes when, you know, and his family came with him, you know, like, for example, sometimes if you don't have term and your family doesn't come with you, it's really hard, because all of a sudden you're sitting there, you're looking, let's just imagine you didn't get term, right? So he probably flies from Nashville to Edmonton. He joins the team. I mean, obviously they've got a really close family, and he probably does, maybe his family doesn't come with him. So they're not with him. And then he has to think about, okay, this is my home now. I may have another home in a couple of months. And some people can put that behind him, but some people can't. So immediately that concern is wiped out. He's here. He's in Edmonton. He knows he's going to be in Edmonton. You know, it's funny, when he was in Toronto a couple weeks ago, I was telling him about how he hit it out of the park by telling everybody that his wife was really happy to be there because of the snow and everything. Mm-hmm. And he laughed and he goes, did you think I was lying? And I said, I didn't think you were lying. I just said you hit it out of the park. And he goes, well, it's true. So he kind of wondered if I thought he was making it up. Anyway, like, I just think that, look, like, it's very clear that he embraced this on and off the ice. He's very happy off the ice. He's very happy on the ice. And look, and the other thing too is he sees how happy the fans were to have him, and he sees how happy the Oilers were to have him. Like, all those guys know how good he is. And like, the other thing we're kind of joking about was, you know, Draisaitl has just destroyed Nashville over the years, and so he knows how good he is, obviously. And it's like, if you can't beat him, join him type of thing. He's a really good skater. He's a really smart player. He's got a reputation as a really good person. And I think the other thing here is, like, you guys could have gone in a lot of different directions here, and you chose this one. And early on, it looks like a home run. So, and I think he likes it, and obviously you guys like it. And, you know, I think the other thing you've really seen is you take a look at some of the guys you've added over the last few years, you know, Mike Smith, Duncan Keith, Zach Hyman, you know, Derek Ryan, I think, is another guy a bit like that. But just guys who are really respected players. Like, they've been around, they're a little older, they've seen the way the league works, they've got the respect of their peers. Like Ekholm's like that. He, like, people around the league know him and like him, and I think that that really helps too.
I want to have time to get to two different things here, Elliot. So let's
I'll keep my answer slow.
Let's quickly.
Are you telling me not to be so verbose? Okay, Brendan, I got that.
That is absolutely not what I'm telling you, because we could go on a tangent about these next two things. I want to get your thoughts on just what happened in Montreal last night. I mean, have you ever seen a team less prepared
in Florida,
to play?
You mean?
Sorry, yes, with Montreal in Florida. Has a team ever been less prepared to come out and start a game than that? Like, it just looks like Montreal might not be icing a good enough team right now. I don't know what to say about it, but 12 goals in the first, 11 minutes, or certainly in the first period, that's something to behold.
Well, they had some, they've had some great performances over the, like, I wouldn't say great, but really good performances over the past couple weeks. Like, I think everybody's entitled to a stinker. I do. And you probably get five a year. I think the thing that stands out for me, Brendan, is what do you do after that game? They got to play Tampa tomorrow night. It's Tampa's. It's a big game for the Lightning. They need the points. They're chasing Toronto. You've got your Hall of Fame weekend. And now Jonathan Drouin looks like he's suspended for that game because he missed a meeting. They're not going to play him. Like, I'll say, okay, that was weird last night, but I want to see what you do in your next game after that. That's the true sign for me.
Secondly, Jordan Binnington's latest meltdown and suspension. And listen, I think he was super out of line in overreacting and flying in there. You can't blocker somebody in the chin, all right? You want to go get involved, fine. You can't blocker somebody in the chin. That's been a match penalty as long as I've been alive. So maybe a take on that, and then should the refs, or rather the linesmen, have just let that unfold, considering both goaltenders were absolutely willing combatants?
I absolutely wish that they had let it unfold. I think everybody in television, on television, in the arena, if you heard them booing, wanted that fight to happen. I wanted that fight to happen. I'm assuming it's an injury thing. They probably looked at it like they didn't want one of those goalies injured in a fight. There's a lot of talk about protecting goaltenders. So I think that's what that was. I actually have to make a call on it. That reminds me. The other thing, too, is I wish it would have let him fight, because I think Binnington needs it. he's been threatening to do it. He's been trying to do it. Like, one way or another, I bet you this all goes away if he finally gets it. Like, win or lose, it's happened. And I actually think that might have, like, there's this whole debate about, you know, what this means and stuff. And I don't want to get really into that. But I just wonder if, like, he finally gets his fight and then it's all over. And that's kind of what I would have liked to have seen happen there. I mean, the mic'd up stuff about Fleury saying, you know, the crowd will love it. No, he's been wanting to do it. Uh-huh. Like, you know, we are in the entertainment business. And I think everybody would have loved to have seen it.
Certainly. And this is where I stand on fighting in general, is if you see two willing combatants, then you've got to back off. If you see one willing combatant and someone else who's tangled up, then maybe you pull them apart. Elliot, always appreciate the time, my friend. We'll chat next week, okay?
All right. Are you back next week, or do I have to deal, unfortunately, with Bob again?
Yeah, you might be stuck with the big guy, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Too bad. Very depressing.
Always a pleasure, Elliot. Talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey on Rogers for Abe's Door Service. Service is their specialty. You can visit abesdoor.ca. I'll remind you as well, we're heading back to sunny California next month with New West Travel. Only a couple seats left, I think, if any at all. So you better get on the phone right now. LA and Anaheim is the destination. You'll watch the Oilers play the Kings and the Ducks. This New West Travel hockey package includes airfare, four nights at the Marriott LA, lower bowl tickets for both games, and a welcome reception with Bob and special guests. For the California Hockey Package, call New West Travel or visit newwesttravel.com. Quick timeout here on Oilers Now. Back in a moment.
Hi, this is Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
All right, let's get to NHL today. Actually, you know what? We will in a second, but I'm going to tell you first that some guests of this show receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Greatest steak you've ever had. Follow the sizzle to 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Chris and Chef Althoff that Oilers Now sent you. Okay, NHL Today is in fact brought to you by our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing, your local branded merchandise specialists. Head to ElitePromoMarketing.com. Four games across the league tonight with Toronto home to Carolina. Leafs defenseman Justin Hull will be scratched in that one. Elsewhere, it is Philly home to Buffalo. St. Louis visiting Washington and Anaheim entertaining Columbus. The Oilers get Seattle in a huge game at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on 630 CHED. Arizona's signing Josh Doan to a three-year entry-level contract. Yeah, that's Shane's son. 21-year-old taken 37th overall in the 2021 draft. He has 38 points in 39 games. As the captain of the Arizona State Sun Devils, Bakersfield with a home-and-home against Henderson this weekend and the Oil Kings. Two games at Rogers Place. We'll hear from Luke Pierce at 1:35. Right now, we'll send it to Randy Kilburn for the headlines. When we come back, Andy Ide will tell you all about the Seattle Kraken. The pesky Kraken Oilers can't get away from them in the Pacific standings.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.